Hi, this is John Harcher, and welcome to the Keep On Grooving video holiday special. We're going to be going over the same stuff as last year because Jimmy only had so much stuff that he did around the holidays. But this year, we'll add a little video element to it, and we'll also go over what box sets would be the best presents to give to either the casual fan or the diehard lover who just hasn't gotten around to buying it yet. So let's get going.
Okay, so I got green screen this year. Thank you, Zoom, for the help on this portion of the video. My hair's going. So anyway, we're going to go over Jimmy's holiday stuff again. But this time I'll have some visual aids, and I'll add in a few more stories along the way. So we'll start off 1965. Jimmy's working with Curtis Knight and the Squires. They actually did some recording at PPX for a few of the early singles. Unfortunately, the experienced Hendrix ones don't tell you which ones are the early singles and which ones aren't, but go to Nico's earlyhendrix.com site and he'll lay everything out there. God bless the man for doing that. So anyway, but of course, the big thing in December 1965 for Jimmy was the live album recorded in Hackensack, New Jersey. Live at George's Club 20. So we went over this in the Curtis Knight episode, what songs are on there. They're a pretty good band, I have to say. Just, you know, what the things that Ed Chalpin did with the recordings and then pursuing the $1 contract has kind of tainted all of that stuff. But if you just take the music in and of itself, they're a pretty cool band. It sounded like it would have been a good night to hang out. Now, the interesting thing about George's Club 20 is it was named partially because it was at 20 Bridge Street in Hackensack, New Jersey. And the funny thing was, is I actually asked my mom, I said, did we ever drive on Bridge Street in Hackensack? Well, she's like, well, yeah. And it dawned on me. I said, was Route 80 done when I was like really small, like in the early 70s? And she's like, no, it hadn't been completed yet. So I was like, so when we would go to my sister Godfather's house over in Bogota, we would have had to take the local bridges in Hackensack. Now, if you see this on a map, for any of you outside of the tri-state area, it looks like Bogota, just like Colombia, but no, in Bergen County, we pronounce it Bogota. So anyway, so he lived right on River Street, obviously right next to the Hackensack River there, and you could have gotten there from Route 46, but that was way up the way the next town over. But if you were driven through Hackensack, where we were coming from Wallington, come up Hackensack Avenue to the weird thing is you get to Hackensack, it's called Terrace Avenue. When you get there, you're in East Rutherford and it's Hackensack, and you end up in Hackensack and it's called Terrace Avenue. But anyway, so you make a turn there and you turn down Court Street, because actually the weird thing is Court Street is one way and Bridge Street is the other way. So if you're going into Bogota, you have to take Court Street. When you're coming out of Bogota, you would have taken Bridge Street. So I may have driven by George's Club 20. You know, I don't know if it was still up in 1971, 1972. He moved in, I think, 73. Him and Harriet and their kids, Diane and Andy, they moved up to Emerson, up Kinnickinnick Road, for those who know the tri-state area. It actually goes up into New York State. It was the weirdest thing. It's like, wait, it starts here and it goes all the way up there? So that's where George's Club 20. And then the other funny thing about the trip to Bogota, and I have to ask because maybe she knew, is that it turns out a fellow co-worker of mine, the marketing master Malachi Williams, or should I say the Reverend Dr. Malachi Williams. It turns out when we were talking about one time where we lived and everything, it turns out she lived right up the street from Dino and Harriet. So I wonder, I was like, maybe were you riding your bike? Maybe by like one time when I was over there playing with Andy and Diane in the front yard there. So that's my lame personal connection to George's Club 20. So it's just funny that, like I said, that a live album from Hackensack, New Jersey. Yeah, go figure. So then we get to 1966, and a year later, Jimmy is in a playing a club in London, and he's in the back, and he's coming up with words, and he decides, he says, oh, he starts writing out a poem, and that poem, start out, "Purple Haze All in My Brain." It's the poem "Purple Haze Jesus Saves," but tied in for Christmas. It's amazing to see the correspondence, to see, playing Hackensack in 1965 and playing in London and coming up with Purple Haze in 1966. So they ended up only playing a couple like local clubs around that time. They didn't do a lot of recording in December, if you heard the Are You Experienced episode. They did a couple dates at CBS, which of course, unfortunately, ended poorly because Jazz didn't have a lot of money and Jake Levy insisted, "You gotta pay me for these sessions." And he's like, "But Paulie always pays later." So unfortunately, that didn't end well, but we did get Foxy Lady out of it. So, and we did get the first version of Red House. A week later, they go back to Delaney Leah and they record the second version of Red House, the one that was ended up on Smash Hits in stereo. And that was pretty much it for recording for the month because he didn't, it was really 3 days. He only had so much money to spend at that point because the single just came out on the 16th. Hey Joe, Stone Free, just come out. So they really didn't have a lot of sales yet. So they also didn't have a lot of dates. So they had a couple dates here and there. So birthday boy Noel, remember Noel was born on Christmas. He said, "Well, we can go up to my way, up around Kent, and we could do a club up there, near me mum's." So they ended up, they did the gig there for New Year's Eve, and then went back to Noel's mum's place for New Year's night to rest up and everything. And of course, it was so freezing. Jimmy was stuck outside. I don't know if Jerry didn't have the heat on in the van, but the first thing Jimmy walks up to the door is like, "Ooh, oh, this is great. Let me stand next to your fire." Yes. Inspiration comes from the strangest places. So we get to 19, oh, we get to 1967. And Axis Bold as Love had came out at the beginning of the month. And Jimmy did this nice little promo with him as Santa Claus with the album Here and There. So they were doing a lot, and they ended up doing the BBC sessions on the 15th, I think they recorded it. And that was the one where they did, and you can actually get that. I first heard it on this. This is one of Alan Douglas's better releases, the Ryko Disc Radio One. Like, if you've heard the story, I bought this at Cheap Thrills on George Street, right near in New Brunswick, right near Rutgers. And I was staying late that night because I had to probably watch a film or something. So I went over, bought the album. Killing time before the movie start, I went over to my buddy's house that they rented up. And I said, "Feather, do you mind if I put on the new CD?" And I go, "Oh, go ahead, PT, no problem." So I played this before I went to see the movie. So it was a good time there. But nowadays, you get it on this album. This is the BBC Sessions. This has everything all the way through. Of course, not in order, which is annoying. The interesting thing is all the songs that were recorded for the December session are on both Radio One and the Complete Session. So it was such a good session that they included all the songs, even the little Radio One jingle. So there was a Radio One jingle. They premiered "Wait Until Tomorrow." They did Spanish Castle-Magic. I thought they premiered it there, but it turns out they did it on a previous show that unfortunately nobody seems to have, or maybe there's no audience recording of. That was the one they did Day Tripper, not with John Lennon showing up, just Noel doing a very good imitation. And they did two passes at what a song Jimmy had just come up with called Getting My Heart Back Together. And you could call it, you should probably call it that because it doesn't have the chorus of the later versions, which of course morphed into Hear My Train a Comin'. The interesting thing is that there was a bit of confusion about that. They recorded two versions of that. They recorded the one they didn't play on the BBC on Radio One. And I'm wondering why they played the second, because the second one is okay, but the first one that they included on Radio One, and of course they have both versions on BBC sessions, just is a more energetic take. Is just it's kind of like this was their coming out there, and they knock it out of the park. And as I mentioned on the holiday special last year, which will get an encore airing, should be going up probably tomorrow. Noel was just really enthusiastic. This is like one of his best experience performances. He added a lot to it, both in his bass playing and his vocals, and just his all around attitude. He seemed to be really enjoying himself, which is good because normally you only heard the stories of, you know, I'm not being in the studio, I want to go to the pub. After they had done the BBC sessions, they did a thing where Jimmy was making like a promo film. And so he went into this white room and sat on a chair and his big black hat on. And somebody gave him an acoustic guitar. Like, hey, could you play something? So they restrung it. And he did an acoustic version of Hear My Train a Comin'. That ended up first being used in a film called See My Music Talking. And they renamed that experience. But then when they made the documentary in 1973, a film about Jimi Hendrix, they took that out of that film and used it in there. And then they used that on the cover, first on the poster, and then they used it on the album cover for the soundtrack. And that's kind of where it's become best known for. So then a couple days later, they did the Christmas on Earth continued concert. That was the big one they had. I know Pink Floyd was there, and it was Syd Barrett's last concert. I think The Move was there, and Jimmy and the Experience did a bunch of songs. They used two of them in the Jimmy Plays Monterey film, and then I think they put it on a bonus track of one of the other releases recently. So they started off the concert with Sgt. Pepper's, not again, Paul. We know the story. And the funny part is before they really start playing, he tells you, cover your ears, cover your ears. And then he starts into it and really goes to town on it for the whole minute and 15 seconds it is or whatever. And then YouTube has Foxy Lady as the next song. And then the set ended with, as his sets usually did at that time, with Wild Thing, though he starts off by playing like a bagpipe version of it. It's actually pretty cool sounding. And then he, you know, does the usual Wild Thing. No burning guitar at this time. Now he only did that, I think, two or three times at most. But of course, most famously at Monterey. Now at that point, they were also doing some more recording. They had actually, you know, since Axis came out, they just started doing recording sessions for what would become Electric Ladyland. The first thing they did was Crosstown Traffic, with Dave Mason from Traffic helping out on background vocals, and of course with the comb with the tissue paper that they turned into a kazoo. They also did the two Noel songs, Dance and Dream, and Dance turned into Touch You, and then eventually down the line became Easy Rider. Without a Noel attribution, which is maybe why they don't really use dance. No, but that's pure speculation on my part. And then they also did the Zitar filled little one with Dave Mason doing Zitar like he did on Hole in My Shoe with Traffic. And that's the one that turned into There Ain't Nothing Wrong With That when Noel and Mitch worked with Chaz in the 80s and turned it into a different song. You know, as much as we hate, Alan Doug's 40 overdubbed later, this is really not that different, but it turned out to be a good tune. So that was basically 1967. 1968 was kind of quiet. He just went to a poetry reading at St. Mark's Church down in the village on Christmas Eve. So it's like a nice night to do things. That's it because he really hadn't done anything in the studio. He did all that work at TTG, and supposedly they, between Christmas and New Year's, they did a listen back on a bunch of the stuff, and they may have come up with an album, but Jimmy didn't really work on it anymore because really Look Over Yonder was the only thing I would say from those sessions that was really complete and you could put that out. Red House maybe a little bit, but the other two songs were good enough. He was just annoyed that Reprise hadn't put it on the American version, but that would be rectified with smash hits. So then we get to 1969, and the Band of Gypsies is now the main focus of everything. And they were doing like parallel things right before Christmas to get ready for the shows at the end of the month. They were recording things like they were doing Earth Blues, they were doing Message to Love. They had already done Room Full of Mirrors. They did a little bit more work on that. They were working on an Easy Rider. So they were doing things like that in the studio. And then they would go from the record plant down to a place called Baggies, and they'd rehearse the songs, the newer songs that they wanted to do. So they ended up doing things like Burning Desire. They ended up doing Buddy Miles Changes they worked on. So it was like a double track thing. And that was also where they ended up doing their own Christmas song. They ended up doing Silent Night, well, Little Drummer Boy, actually. It starts with Little Drummer Boy, it goes into Silent Night, and then it goes into Auld Lang Syne. It's about 7.5 minutes long. And Alan Douglas, along the way, decided to turn it into a single, and then Buddy released it only to radio stations. But then Experience Hendrix in 1999 said, let's put this out to the public. And so they repurposed the promo from Axis Bold as Love and turned it into Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Originally, it was called And a Happy New Year, but that was now on public. And the funny thing is, this is now the only place we can get Three Little Bears because we don't have War Heroes yet. They still haven't gotten around and given the tapes to Bernie Grundman so we can make a nice new copy of it. But so you can still get a hold of it there. So now we head on to the new section of our holiday special where we look at the box sets that have come out over the years. Now, the box set era, like when I was talking about this, it really kind of started in the mid to late 80s. Like 1985 was Bob Dylan's Biograph, and that was kind of the first one that people like started thinking, oh, we could maybe use this unreleased stuff, put like some greatest hits and then some unreleased stuff. But it really kicked off with Crossroads by Eric Clapton, Bill Levinson's compilation in mid 1988. And then basically that was like the template everybody started to use. So as people start cranking out these box sets, you're like, well, Reprise seems to be falling behind. It's like, Jimmy could really use one. So that's why in 1990, they started off with Lifelines. And this was the radio show Live and Unreleased that they aired on Labor Day weekend 1988. And it's not the best idea for a box set because it's like, you really don't want to listen to all the talking, you just want to listen to the music. So it's interspersed in there. And when I ended up doing like digital versions of it, I basically just edited out all the talking. And so it only ended up being like, 10 songs really overall. So I remember I had seen the Castle Communications version of it from Europe and was thinking about paying $50 for it, but I didn't. A year later, this came out for like $40, $44. Plus, it had the Los Angeles concert, the first release of the Los Angeles concert. So that was really the main reason for buying this set. So maybe that's what inspired them to do the one the following year, stages. You had four concerts. From each of the year, you had Stockholm, which was a radio show from 1967. So that was one that was only 32 minutes. It was eight songs, but it was only, a little over half an hour. They really could have put something else on the set. Then for 1968, they had the final time Jimmy played the Paris Olympia in January, which was a decent set. Then they had the very strange version of the San Diego show from 1969, May 24th, 1969, 24th to 25th, where they took Red House from In the West, and I Don't Live Today from concerts. So they put it out, but for some reason they dropped Foxy Lady. Now, the Lifelines version of LA had dropped Foxy Lady, but that was because it was added as a bonus track on the concerts. So the people were thinking, like, oh, well, it's not on the San Diego because it's on concert. No, it's not that one. No. I don't know why they. And then to this day, they still haven't released the version of Foxy Lady there. And I just listened to it again recently. It's a really good version. It's kind of a faster one, but it's like 5 minutes, which is like odd, but it's really good. Oops. That was my mouse acting. I'm sorry about that. So then the final concert was Atlanta from 1970, the Atlanta Pop Festival. And he kind of just, Alan Douglas just kind of picked and choose what he wanted on there. He left off a bunch of good things. He left off Red House. He left off the cool version of Hey Joe with the flamenco opening. And he did cut out, thankfully, the Hey Baby that dies at the end. So that was probably a good thing. So, this was a far better choice of a box set. It's maybe not worth picking up now because most of this has been done by Experienced Hendrix, but it was worthwhile at the time. So that was kind of it for box sets for another decade. And then in between, MCA took over, and then in the middle of the 90s, Experienced Hendrix was formed by the family. So once they started getting the catalog back into shape, they decided, okay, now it's time for our box set. And this is the original version with the purple velvet on it of the Jimi Hendrix Experience. This was definitely worth it. It was almost completely, is either the material on it was either unreleased or most of it was out of print at the time. So even though you had things like a Rolling Stone, or was it Rock Me Baby? Yeah, they had like a Rolling Stone, Rock Me Baby from Monterey on there. They had some of the Isle of Wight stuff and Star Spangled Banner from Rainbow Bridge was on there, and then all the unreleased stuff. So it was a very worthwhile thing, and it's actually very accessible. And actually, I'll get to the mention that when I get to the end. But that was all really MCA did. They kind of did the two disc set Voodoo Child, which I left at my mom, sorry. That was the one that I have signed by Eddie Kramer and Billy Cox. But that was kind of the last they did. But then when they got to Sony decided to go to town. And they've been going to town for the most part. So in 2010, they put out West Coast Seattle Boy, which is follow up to the Jimi Hendrix Experience. And it's also got a lot of unreleased stuff. Plus, it also has the first disc of all of his pre experienced material with the exception of the Long Youngblood and Curtis Knight material. That's a little bit of a deeper dive, but it's still worthwhile. It's got the fi they finally found the original version of Message of Love with the part that Alan Douglas cut out. They finally found that. So that's it, almost worth it just for that. So then a year later, they came out with the Winterland box set. And everybody was hoping that they were going to do like just, okay, they played their six sets. Let's get a six disc set with everything on it. It's not what we get. We get three discs of the best of each night and then a fourth disc of the best of whatever we couldn't fit on the first one, first three discs. And even then, they're still missing. Like they didn't include Voodoo Child. That was on the Ryko disc, extra disc. I mean, technically that was a box set, but it was just a reissue of Live at Winterland with three extra songs and a t-shirt. The t-shirt fell apart pretty quick too. So, but this is definitely worthwhile. It's definitely good stuff. There's a bunch of editing on it. Like they've edited the solo on Red House that was on the Ryko disc album, and no one's sure why. It's not for space. But it's still a worthwhile addition to the catalog. Then they decided to get into the act themselves in 2013 by reissuing the Jimi Hendrix Experience box set. It's a little smaller, no velvet, but they added four songs. They added the mono version of Stars Play with Laughing Sam's Dice. They added Peace in Mississippi. They added, oops, and I'm gonna lose this a minute here. What's the other one they missed? They added the Like a Rolling Stone from Winterland. And I can't figure out the other. I remembered it. I used to remember it like the top of my head. Oh, The Burning of the Midnight Lamp. Yeah, this is the one where it was on a TV show. This is the one where they didn't play the wrong song. That's on, they actually have that one on BBC Sessions, the one where they start playing the House of Jack Milk from Alan Price. And Jimmy's like, I don't know the words of this one. This is just The Burning of the Midnight Lamp, another TV show. They kind of mouthed their words to the backing track. So, kind of a squirrely thing, but not great. So when the 50th anniversary of the original three albums came up, you know, people were kind of looking forward to it and like, is anything really good going to happen? Are we going to get a good set from it? And 19, well, the 2017 came and went, and really, actually, the only thing that came out was the Hackensack Live. I was like, they kind of dropped the ball on that. But then 2018, they were going to make up for it. Acoustic Sounds was going to be putting out a Super Audio CD of both Electric, not Electric Mayland. I mean, let's not jump ahead. They were going to put out a Super Audio CD of Are You Experienced and Axel Polder's Love with the stereo and mono versions on it. Now, Are You Experienced was going to be the American version, kicking off everybody over on the continent, but the Axis one was going to have it both on both sides. So that would be good from there. But the one they would go to town on would be Electric Ladyland. They said, we're going to come out with a box set for Electric Ladyland's 50th, and it ended up being this. Yes. This is Linda McCartney's photograph in Central Park by the Alice in Wonderland stretch, or is this Madison Square Park? It's one of the other ones. Wherever the Alice in Wonderland statue is, that's what this is. And this was what the one that Jimmy wanted to put on the cover, but they said, no, let's go with Flaming Cover. And the track record said, let's put on 24 naked women. And then made them look like they were in a funhouse mirror, so they didn't look good. So what's the point? Now, this one was a bit of a problem, as we talked about, because they included one disc was for a Dagger concert from the Hollywood Bowl, which really doesn't really go with this. And then the bonus tracks were kind of skimpy. They really only went to like the middle of the sessions with like extra takes and everything. So it was definitely disappointing. And you know, other people had other ideas about how to, like, I had my own ideas of how to make my bonus tracks and everything. So that was one that they dropped the ball on. But one that they really didn't drop the ball on was this one. The following year, they came up with Songs for Groovy Children, which is all four of the Band of Gypsies concerts. And they didn't include all the songs, but for the most part, they ended up doing most of the songs, and they sounded great. And there's still some confusion over whether or not they included all the tracks. They did include all the tracks or had access to it. Turns out there were two songs on here that nobody had heard bootleg, but then there was a confusion of that there's still maybe more missing songs, according to the tapes that are Paul Allen's Experience Project. So, but this is definitely worthwhile. And here's the sticker for Experience. So this is definitely worthwhile. So of all these box sets, which one would I tell someone to pick up as a present? Without question, the reissue of Sony's Jimi Hendrix Experience. I picked this up for $30 on Amazon. So this is like you can afford this. You can't beat that as a bargain. Plus, you get all the nice liner notes, mixing dates, all kind of info. It's really good. The other one I would tell people is this one, the Band of Gypsies one. There's a lot of info in there. So those are my two recommendations there. So that's pretty much it for the holiday special. So let me go over to the fireplace and let me say our goodbyes.
So that was the Keep On Grooving video holiday special. I hope you enjoyed it. Next year coming up, we're looking forward to hopefully new releases, especially the Electric Lady Studio box set. Fingers crossed that's coming out. So that's it for this year. Thank you for listening the past 15 months, and hope there's more good stuff coming up in the new year. So for everyone, have a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holidays, whatever else you're celebrating, and as always, thanks for listening, and this time, thanks for watching.